Welcome to the Drunken Who podcast. I'm John.
I'm Steve.
And Steve, it's episode 164 of the Drunken Who podcast. Whoop, whoop.
Whoa.
That's how much enthusiasm you can expect from Steve today.
And every day.
And every day. And today we're going to celebrate season 13, or you may call it series 13, episode 3, or you may call it episode 3 of Doctor Who. And today we're going to discuss Rosa. Steve, what's Rosa about?
I think last time I made a thing about Rosa Diaz, the character from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So this time I'm just going to say that they accidentally go back and kill Rosa Parks before she gets on a bus.
Oh, that's tragic.
The TARDIS just lands right on top of her.
Ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-bum. Oh.
Yeah,
and then they revisit like future times, and
then they have to go back and like stop themselves from doing it, and it causes a weird time loop thing, where
those weird little time creatures come back and like return.
And one of the consequences is that Ryan Gosling is never born.
Oh, that'll be sad. He'd never wear Shuchigakwa's bootleg T-shirt then.
Yeah. I was trying to think of like a banal current celebrity, and that's since we discussed that weird thing with him and the bootleg Doctor Who T-shirt earlier. Then before we hit record, then yeah.
Well, you know, it's sad for our Canadian neighbors to the north.
Yeah, he's Canadian. He's Canadian, so you know it wouldn't matter.
I could have said our Wisconsin neighbors to the north, which is also redundant.
True,
but he's not Wisconsinite.
I mean, we are on a globe, a sphere, a giant sphere. So technically, like, you know, people south of us are to the north.
Steve, every country has a north.
What?
Yeah, well, I was quoting Peter Capaldi. Anywho.
Okay.
So so then what happens after they, like, you know, with the time conundrums and those, like, little things come and, like, you know, try and suck them up? And so do they resurrect Rosa, or do they have to, like, recreate her as a robot or something?
A robot. I like that. But no, they...
a robot.
They fix the timeline, but in doing that, then Toni Collette is never born. Wait, she's Australian.
I know. What?
Damn what, it. Why can't I think of an American celebrity?
You don't love Americans. Apparently, you love America too much, Steve. I'm gonna make America the center of the universe. Fuck the Canadians. Fuck the Australians. Taika Waititi, fuck him too. Oh, he's New Zealander, you know.
Because of this, Barack Obama is never born. Oh wait, no, he's Kenyan.
Damn it, Steve. Why can't you get this correct?
Oh, I'm so bad at this.
You know, how about the guy from District 9? What's his damn name?
Charlton Copley.
Ah, oh, damn it, he wasn't born either. Oh, he's from South Africa.
Oh, we would never see the magic that is Chappie.
Then thank you for your service.
Also, they would have to recast Murdoch in the A-Team movie.
That one I'm not sure. What? That's a weird one. I had to think about that one.
Those two in District 9 are the only movies I can think of that he was actually in.
You know, does that mean that, like, in the next rebooting of Star Trek, that Charlton Copley will be Broccoli in the Next Generation reboot of The Next Generation?
I don't know what that means.
That's true. Steve, how can people contact us if they need to? Because, you know what, we have just so much comedy gold just going on here. People want to add to it. So how would they add their comedy gold sprinkled into our soupçon of comedic Doctor Who?
Okay. First, they'd have to, like, translate that from French. Yeah. And then they would email drunktorwho@gmail.com or reach out on Twitter at drunktorwho, which is John, or at SR Dolan, which is me. That's also my name on Letterboxd,
so many
Instagram,
names.
Or that's pretty much it. You know, you can find me on Facebook. I'm not very active, but I'm on there. I'm not very active in real life either. I'm asthmatic and overweight. So, you know.
If you find Steve in Chicago, he's probably wearing a mask.
Yes.
Just for fun.
And wheezing.
And it was like, you know, hey, that was before COVID.
Yes, true.
Hey, Steve, I didn't ask for it, but do you have a toast ready for us for the Drunktor Who trademark toast of the episode? Oh.
I do.
Sweet. So why don't you make with it, Steve? Make with the thing.
Let's make radio.
Oh, let's. No clue.
No?
No, wait, let's make radio. Is it like one of those, like, movies where they were off the coast of England doing pirate broadcasts because the BBC wasn't playing the music we like?
Pump up the volume?
Yes. Yes, correct. And then like my face was off. Face off. Face off.
Okay, I don't know why you brought that up, but okay.
Because I couldn't think of Christian Slater's name, and all that popped into my head was Nicolas Cage.
Oh, okay. Because I thought you were going for a Broken Arrow reference, because that's what he was in with John Travolta from the director of Face Off, like 2 years before.
Probably what actually happened in my brain, but I rethought it. No, where was that from?
It's from a zombie movie that you and I watched together several years ago, and I just rewatched this past week.
What?
Pontypool.
Oh, I didn't love that movie though.
It was fine.
Did it hold up?
I think so, because it was it's a lot
from
of
our Canadian friends from the north.
Yes. It was an interesting take on zombie the zombie lore, the zombification thing spreads through words. And it stars Stephen McHattie, who I always confuse with Lance Henriksen for the first moments he's on screen.
Because he does kind of look like him.
Yeah. And a bunch of other like Canadian people that I've never heard of. But yeah, it's fun. It's worth seeing. I got it on DVD from the library because it's not streaming anywhere. And I felt like rewatching it before I listened to the episode of Evolution of Horror where they talked about it. So yeah, because I had no recollection of watching it with you, even though I know we did because of beer.
You know, I have no recollection of watching with you. I know I watched it, but I don't remember watching with you, particularly, unless I rewatched it with you or something. But okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Speaking of our friends from the North, you know, again, like feeling kind of old, not Kids in the Hall reference, surprisingly, an SCTV reference. I saw a tweet where Dave Thomas,
yes,
from SCTV, was tweeting about his son. His son is like in a TV show. You know, his son is in Better Call Saul.
Really?
Yes. And I'm looking at him like he had a picture. I'm like, oh my God, yes, that is Dave Thomas's son. And he was like saying, it's like my son for like, you know, an Emmy sort of thing. And like, and again, his son ain't young. I'm not saying his son is old, but I was like kind of looking at him like, oh wow, I feel real old. We're like, Dave Thomas is talking about his adult son who's an actor. I see you're looking it up. Have you found it?
I think so. I mean, the last name is Thomas.
Yeah.
But he was born in 1990.
I'm just saying, but so, like, yeah. So
that makes him 32, not 22. Oh,
right, he's Christ, a rough looking 32, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember him in Better Call Saul, which I'm behind. I haven't watched the current season yet.
So we're about to watch an episode of Doctor Who where Steve said that Rosa Parks gets killed by the Who crew.
Oh yeah.
And then becomes like a robot somehow.
Yeah.
So does she become like a giant robot like in when it was like a Victorian era Doctor Who?
Is she an Iron Giant?
Oh, that would be amazing. It's like she instead of like getting in the bus, she has to ride the bus.
She just crushes it with her giant foot.
Rosa, destroy.
Yes.
See if that changes any civil rights in America. So until the next time we come back from this break, I almost said until the next time we see you again.
Just
so,
go.
Hey, just go and then come back. Steve said, just go. I'm telling you, come back after we tell you to go and then come back.
John, right, Steve? Maybe you should just calm down. And
I've got to make up for like your lack of energy.
Oh, good luck.
Bye. On the other side. What? Huh? We're back. Yeah. Ka-chow. Steve, well, we just watched an episode of Doctor Who from several years ago.
Bingity-boom.
Bingity-boom. That's right, Steve from the future.
Bippity-boppity-bop.
So bippity-boppity, Steve.
I had to change it just enough to avoid copyright infringement.
Right. You don't want to. It's not like, you know, like Mary Poppins. Like Winnie the Pooh is in the public domain now. Well, you can not, like, make a horror movie about it.
Yeah, not the Disney version. You can't have like the Disney version, but you can do like the character Winnie the Pooh. I am looking forward to the horror movie version. I forget what it's called, but it's already on my Letterboxd watch list.
Winnie the Pooh taking out the bitches one person at a time, bitches.
Winnie the Pooh and Cleaver too.
So what'd you think of this episode of Doctor Who, Steve?
Hated it.
Wow, for reals?
Well, I found it incredibly emotionally manipulative, and maybe I'm just dead inside and allergic to sincerity, but I really disliked it.
Okay, cool. So what happened?
We go back to, well, first we go to pre the Doctor.
First,
we go back to,
we actually start right with credits. There was no cold open.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah.
That was kind of weird to me.
Yeah. We start in 1944 in Montgomery, Alabama, where we see Rosa Parks coming home from work. And because
1943, because someone's going to write in. Just saying.
And because she is a saint, and we see her like just stoically take the racist abuse of the bus driver. And there is
the same bus driver from later.
Yes. Who looks the exact same, despite the fact that 12 years pass. And she, like, there's these trumpets that kick in as she's, you know, like, it just bugged me. You know, because she has to, like, get on the back of the bus. And this bus driver actually, like, doesn't even let her on, even though she paid, because, you know, she's acting above her station.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And then we go forward 12 years and we see her, we see the TARDIS, and we see them. Let's see, what was it? Yeah.
Well, they materialize in an alley.
Yes.
And it's like, hey, are we there? And the doctor's like, let's try again. And Graham's like,
yeah,
this is the 14th time. What's going on?
Seriously.
Yeah.
And they she basically says, well, I don't know, something's been drawing us here, but there's like, what is it, Archon?
Yeah, there's energy? Some sort of like, there's evidence of like another time traveler in the area. Yeah. She goes, oh, we have to investigate.
Yeah, there's traces of Acorn about.
The game is afoot.
Yes. And so they go out to find this, and of course they are just milling about, and some white lady drops her glove and Ryan picks it up and like taps her on the shoulder, and he gets slapped and gets threatened with lynching. And it didn't feel right to have this be in just like a science fiction show. Cause they mentioned lynching a bunch in this episode.
Cause it had been happening back in the time.
I know. But also, every single white character is a devil. Every single black character is a saint. It's just, it's an oversimplified view of history. And it's not like when they punch Hitler in the face. Because that was like a cartoonish view of meddling in history. But this is an overly sincere view of making sure history happened the right way. And it just, I don't know. It just kind of bugged me.
Okay. Well, then Rosa Parks shows up.
Yes.
Wait, that Rosa Parks shows up.
Of course.
Situation. She's like, sir, your suit will be ready. I'll have it ready for you. He's like, yeah. And then she's just kind of like, what are you people doing here? We're from England. We're dumb.
And it was shot like with such an extreme close up on that white dude's scowling face. You didn't see any, it's almost like it was saying like, hey, there's no context to this. There's just angry dude. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, let's continue. Cause I have thoughts that we'll talk about at the end.
Of course.
Okay. Because I want to hear, again, like we just finished this. So let's just keep going. So, again, Rosa Parks de-escalates it, and she actually brings up to them. It's like, you know what, you know, we're from out of town. And she says, so was Emmett Till. He got killed for being out of town.
Yes.
So it's like, let's take a chill pill, people. Stop acting, you know, don't get yourselves killed. So she's like actually like the voice of reason.
Yes, true. And then they go about their day, but they also like end up in a lunch count in a restaurant where they're all sitting there and everybody's just kind of staring at them until the waitress comes over and says, we don't serve your kind here. And then she turns to Yaz and says, we don't serve Mexicans neither. And I did enjoy the fact that nobody knew bothered to even be correctly racist. Yeah. They were just like broadly, they were just, no, we're going to assume you're Mexican, even though she has a British accent.
Right.
Yeah, I did enjoy that running gag.
There's a couple of quotes in that scene where it's like, yeah, you know, where it's like, you know, it's like they're talking to, it's like, remember Ryan? Remember when we were in school? Says Yaz, and we talked about Rosa Parks. We actually were like, we're in the Rosa Parks classroom or something, whatever. And he's like, oh yeah, she's the first one who drove a bus, right? And she goes, really?
Yeah.
And then when the woman comes up, she says, we don't serve Negroes. And then Ryan literally says, good, because I don't eat them.
The
waitress turns to Yaz and says, yeah, or Mexicans. Are you talking to me? Yeah, it was actually awesome.
I did enjoy that scene, yes.
It was a good laugh line.
Yes.
You know, took a little of the uncomfortableness off.
Yeah.
They leave because they see, like, everybody's, you know, it's like the people in the kitchen who are clearly not white people were just kind of like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
What's going on out here? Like, so they leave.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and then I think they meet. That's the first time they meet up. Or no, we cut to a scene with like this greaser dude who looked just like Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. For a second.
I wrote him. I called him first. Not Sunny in Philadelphia guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah,
he finds a TARDIS. Clearly, he's a time traveler. He's like, he zaps it. Says, oh, it's being protected by a force shield. Ooh,
and he knows it's TARDIS. And so then they go to, they follow the energy and end up at the bus company. She like uses the sonic screwdriver a ton to like expose this, like, what?
Jodie Whittaker's thing is like, you know, she wields the sonic screwdriver like it's a sword.
Yes.
It's very emotive of her doctor. And I wish
also
it wasn't.
It's also very aggressive.
Yeah.
And so she finds this suitcase that's hidden in, like, you know, besides some sort of reality field. It's under perceptive an invisibility filter. Cloak.
Perception filter.
It's under an invisibility cloak.
Yep.
And they find it, and it's got the initials GFB, which I didn't know if it stood for giant fucking big. But yeah.
Oh.
No, okay. Sorry. Giant friendly big.
Okay.
I mixed up the gun from Doom and the giant from Roald Dahl. I mixed them up and combined them. Because Doom, they didn't have a big friendly gun.
They did not.
They had a big fucking gun.
Right. So yeah, gun, friendly big.
She
finds, gun fucking big. Urgh.
She finds this screwdriver with her screwdriver and says that there's like some sort of time displacement thing and a battery and all this other nonsense. And then he comes up and like zaps that towards them, and they run. They hide out.
He's got the aim of a stormtrooper.
Yeah, they hide out in what looks like a junkyard.
Yep.
And she confronts him, saying like, "I know your weapon's out of batteries, and I have your spare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can't do shit to me. Why are you trying to ruin the historical significance of Rosa Parks?" And he's like, "Just
what? You know,
none of your business." And then she scans him really quick with the sonic screwdriver and runs,
mm-hmm.
and away with her gang. And then they go to a whites only hotel. And Ryan says, "I'm really sick of seeing that sign." And I kind of expected a joke about like, this is the first time we're seeing a sign for this hotel, but he was referring, of course, to the whites only part.
There was a lot of those going on, dude.
I know. And, so they sneak Ryan and Yaz in through the window, cause Graham and the doctor, rent the room. And then she's writing on the wall in a Sharpie and she's like, "Don't worry." And, Graham makes a reference to Banksy and she's like, "I'm not Banksy, or am I?"
Or am I?
And so they start brainstorming Rosa Parks facts. And it turns out that Graham knows the name of the bus driver. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I have never heard a reference to this dude's name in my life.
But it actually kind of makes sense in his past because, you know, he says it's like, oh, you know, his wife, when they first met, was like, "Oh, you're a bus driver." Not like James Blake, James the Snake.
Yeah.
That nasty bus driver. You know, it would make sense like a black woman would know who, like, you know, was the infamous bus driver in Alabama.
Especially a woman who was born and alive while this was taking place. Like right, born before the Montgomery bus boycott kicked in.
Right. And, you know, it sounds like she's like a very outspoken lady, too, because yes. like even like Ryan later is kind of like, you know, me Graham would be all like, you know, hey, you got to go do this. And, you know,
well, I think the dialogue was like Graham said, oh, I wish she was here. And Ryan goes, yeah, well, I do, too, except she would start a riot. So
that'd be awesome.
Yeah. And then, of course, the fucking toxic Barney Fife comes to the door and pounds on it and comes in and is like, you know, yeah. I heard that one of your people was starting fights all over.
What are you talking about?
And it just comes with like the lynching justified by false accusations.
Oh, he talks about mongrels.
Oh, I know. It was just so disgusting.
You know, well, I think that's the point, Steve. I think the point is to show how disgusting it was. I know. I mean, we can look at the racism that's existing nowadays. It was probably 10 times worse back then.
And you know,
nowadays people can pretend to not be racist and still be racist. Back then it was, you know, it was like, you know, ooh, you can be like out, you know, it didn't matter. It's like racist days out, you know?
No, I know. And now they have to use special dog whistles.
Right.
Yeah. And
that's the point.
Like whenever there's a mass shooting, they bring up Chicago, which is just, you know, a way of saying like, Democrat led city with a large African American population. And it's just like they only bring up women's sports when they want to deify or want to like demonize a trans woman.
Yep.
You know, it's the same thing with gun violence.
We're going through now. We're going through another time of like bullshit.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But I don't know. I know it's historically accurate. We're still talking. Yes.
So like, yeah. So luckily Ryan and Yaz escaped out the back window because, you know, luckily those mongrels weren't hiding in the tub, but then you see Ryan and Yaz, they're like, you know, they're hiding behind like a trash dumpster. And it's like talking and it's like, you know, they're talking about, you know, hey, we had racism in our area, but like, you know, we're luckily don't have that now. And like, you know, Yaz is like, yeah, they call me Packy. They call me terrorist. And it's like, and you know, it's like, even like Ryan's like, yeah, me, Graham told me to keep my temper because she knew what it was like.
And she does make a joke about her Mexican temper or something like that, which I did appreciate. I did like the running, she's running gag about her joking about being Mexican.
Yeah. Even like when they like get on the bus and stuff, she's like, if I'm Mexican, am I white enough to sit here without anyone yelling at? Apparently, okay.
Well, she did have a good point in that the driver didn't make her get out and get in the back door. Yeah. She was able to like go there. So does she sit up front or does she sit in back? And she's like, I don't understand why, which is not to use a pun, but it makes the racism of the time. It's not so much a black and white issue.
She Mexican sit in the front part of the bus.
Because I know, like, you know, black people weren't allowed to play Major League Baseball until 1947 with Jackie Robinson. And before then, there were some people who there's a movie with Richard Pryor and Billy Dee Williams from the mid 70s called Bingo Long and His Traveling All-Stars about a Negro League team where one of the characters, it might have been Richard Pryor's character, who keeps saying he's Cuban, he's not black, so he should be able to play. So, you know, it is a muddled situation.
Yeah.
And we are two middle-aged white dudes from Chicago. And so I don't have the proper perspective on this. And we can only do what we can do, you know.
So then, again, there's, you know, they're talking and they're talking about, we need to find everything about Rosa Parks and we need to like, you know, find out like what she does. You know, this guy's trying to like change time somehow.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's when, like, Graham says, I know James Blake, he's the driver. And it's like, well, we're going to make sure that Rosa gets on the bus and yada, yada.
So, and that he's driving.
Right. So when they're like, you know, it was like the day before it happens, they actually get on the bus just to see what happens. And I like when Yaz says this, I'm running on a bus in Montgomery. Good times.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was when she like found out she could, quote unquote, pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's so weird.
So the greaser guy, his name is Cresco. And, you know, when like he encountered the doctor and he mentioned something about Storm Cage, and she's like, she recognized that it's a high security prison from the future.
Yes.
And, you know, then she goes in, you know, she goes to encounter him while everyone, you know, her job, she's going to find the guy. Graham's job is to talk to the bus drivers, dudes. Yaz is to like investigate, and Ryan is to like, you know, find out what Rosa Parks is doing. And he meets, I'm sorry, you're Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? Okay, Rosa Parks, thank you for introducing me to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Hello, Dr. Martin King. Yeah. he had like a fangasm. He's just like, oh my God.
I did enjoy when she's like, are you police? Are you FBI? And he's like, look, if I was police or FBI, you wouldn't know that I was following you.
Yeah.
Also, I would blend in better and not have a British accent. So please, I just want to help.
Yeah, would we have a British accent or be black? Yeah. And she's like, yeah, good point.
Yeah. So then they all meet up again. Well, is this when they meet up again? And no,
the doctor, like, actually, he's talking to the guy and he's like, hey, little changes are going to make a big difference. She's like,
yeah.
Oh, you can't kill because you were in Storm Cage. You've got a neural block. And he's like, how did you know? She goes, scanned you, bitch. Try and kill me. And he's like, oh, can't kill you. Can't kill, can't harm. But he can cause things. So he's trying to like make, so like, again, it's like,
really quick.
Yeah.
He's like Spike from season 4 of Buffy, where he has a neural chip implanted and he can't harm humans.
Yes. And he's got great sculptured facial hair, just like Spike did back then, I'm sure.
No, he didn't. Spike never had facial hair.
No. Okay. Spike could have potentially had great facial hair
sculpted. I don't understand why you're bringing in the facial hair,
because his hair was so sculpted it did not seem 1950s appropriate.
I think you said spatial hair, which is actually what I almost said.
He's from the future, but he's like, I can't do this. But like, so the doctor is like, all right, fine. But like, she basically causes him to weaponize himself, because she had his like suitcase, which he was using like a spatial thing that would send things to the far past or the far future.
He had a gun that acted like the Weeping Angels.
Steve.
He could zap things into the far future, the far past, which makes me wonder like why he didn't use this to like zap himself to a different time instead of using the weird Captain Jack wrist thing.
Maybe is like less, you know, less accurate.
Maybe. And
well, it's also, you know, again, a weapon.
The doctor did refer to it as killing people. So yeah. I don't know. But yeah, so she throws the suitcase up as he fires the weapon. So
I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, his supplies get zapped into the 79th century. And then she basically says, like, you can't harm me, so I'm just going to take your, like, time travel wrist thing and smash it with my feet. And, oh, look, you can't hurt me because it hurts you to think about hurting me.
You weepy little crybaby bitch.
Yeah. And so, and he's like, well, it doesn't matter. And basically he says, like, I'm a really, really huge racist from the future. And so I want to stop this. And was it Storm?
Stormageddon.
What was the name of the prison?
The baby of James, what's his face from like the Late Late Show.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I don't know. The fans know. So Storm Cage.
Oh, Storm Cage.
Yeah.
Which Stormfront is like the neo-Nazi like internet forum where they meet up. Yeah. So
don't give them any credence, Steve.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's the word storm is I think used on purpose.
Well, like one or two, like he's like, I didn't kill anybody. All right, well, I killed 2,000 people.
I didn't hurt anybody, but I did kill them. A few.
Yeah.
100, maybe 1,000. Okay, 2,000.
My bad.
Yeah.
So like wonder, did he like, you know, did he have like a great plastic surgeon? Or was this just kind of like, you know, because he didn't like actually kill them directly, you know, whatever. He got sent to like, you know, a high security prisoner of the future. And, but anyway, so the doctor is.
Well, sorry. Like, it made me think of River Song, who's in prison, but also has one of those wrist time travel things. So I'm like, was she in the same prison?
We'll talk at the end, Stu.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if that will come up again. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't.
Are you going to talk like that the rest of the episode?
I wasn't planning on it, but now I'm considering it. You know what? Please write into Steve and tell him that this is his fault. Steve, you can write him as, I'm Steve, Chicago, That's the zip code. And I'm stopping. Oh, good. Go on, Steve.
Wow. People must have written in disapproving.
I know. This is John from the future.
Okay.
My time manipulation device on my wrist, as you can clearly see, Steve.
So then they go back to the hotel and they brainstorm some more. And she writes on the wall with a Sharpie that she can erase with her sonic screwdriver and says Banksy doesn't have one of those. Yeah. We're not going to get. I mean, people should know that we can't talk all, you know, by now.
It's true. So, like, you know, basically, like, she's like, we've got to keep it on track. This guy's going to try and fuck it with like little pieces here, because now that this James Blake guy is going to drive the bus tomorrow. Wait, James Blake is not on the schedule. He said he's going to go fishing. Wait, what?
Yeah.
So now it's the day of. And so, yeah, the doctor's like, my coat ripped. Rosa, fix it. Okay. Hey.
Fix it. It's an emergency.
Hey, James, the racist fisherman. The bus driver guy you were friends with shows up with his black grandson. What?
And he threatens to juggle his fish, which could be a threat, but he literally means he's going to touch all of his fish. And because he's black, he doesn't want him to touch them. I guess.
And then like Yaz is like, I've got to stay here and watch you do this, Rosa, because you need to be at the bus at 5:40.
But what? before that, the doctor and Yaz end up at the house of the substitute bus driver, telling him he won a raffle to go see Frank Sinatra in concert and meet him in Vegas. And that happens because Elvis gave his magical Doctor Who cell phone to Frank Sinatra.
But he swore he wouldn't.
But it's okay because it's going to work out.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Was Elvis even Elvis back then?
In 55?
I don't know, but
I'm not sure. It depends on...
I mean, Sinatra would have been a big shot, you know, because he was a big shot since the 40s. Elvis was a big shot since the 50s. I'm just not sure.
I'm going to really quick Google Elvis. Oh, if I can spell it right.
It's E-V-I-L-S. Evil.
Ed Sullivan.
Oh, Evil Ed.
Evil Ed, no. Oh, September 9th, 1956 was Elvis's first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show.
So Elvis wouldn't have been as important at that point.
I don't think so. But then again, Elvis wasn't doing this. Elvis just had the cell phone. So maybe she went back in time and gave Elvis the cell phone before, when he was still like relatively unknown.
Boom, my head just exploded, Steve.
Whatever. Elvis definitely wouldn't have been in Vegas before he was on Ed's, whatever. Anyway.
So the doctor and the crew needs to make sure that what happens on the day of Rosa, you know, standing up for her rights actually happens.
Yeah,
so
like you said, because a fixed point in time doesn't matter anymore.
Right. You know,
it
like
takes an intervention.
No scary creatures showed up to like take out the guy or anything. Yeah. You know, so it's like, yeah, so that's why they showed up at the guy's place and said, no, you want a thing, go away. And like then when they show up, they're like, no. So it's like, yeah, so.
So they show up at the original, like, I don't know, Jake the Snake Roberts, the professional wrestler. What is it? Blake the Snake, whatever the fuck his name is.
Oh, yeah.
And interrupt his fishing trip. And a true racist shitbag, he says, oh, you know what? There's a sit-in that's going to happen tonight. I'm not going to just take my day off and like go home and relax or go pay a nickel to see fucking the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers or The Blob or whatever is playing in 1955.
A nickel?
A
nickel? Really?
Well, okay, 35 cents. I don't fucking know.
See Clara Bow? I don't know.
I'm not an economist. He of course goes back to work because, you know, he is one of the evil ones and has to like oppress black people at all costs. Whoa.
Right. So it's like, so they're making sure, cause like, it's like, oh, okay. So when he like shows up for a shift, Cresco, the, not,
the,
not,
The Magnificent,
Philadelphia guy,
because he sounds like a fucking magician. Cresco the Magnificent.
Yeah, he wasn't very magnificent. He like shows up. He's like, it turns out he's been masquerading as a mechanic, and he's like, oh, I guess your bus ain't going. So, because there's full of holes and all the tires are flat and shit.
Because we only have the one. There isn't a like a backup bus you could use. Oh no.
I don't know how it works in 55 Alabama, Steve. But like, yeah, so he's like, oh, I guess not. So we'll have to shut down your route. And the doctor's like, no, we got to get a replacement. So, you know, yeah. So they find a replacement. And it's like, here you go, racist. Here's your bus. He's like, this doesn't seem strange at all. He doesn't say that.
Yeah.
He's like, okay.
He's just like, oh, you're the guy who I just talked to like a bunch of times in the last 24 hours.
First, I thought you were racist like me. Now you're not racist like me, but then you are racist. I don't got what?
He's like, he doesn't say like, why the fuck are you delivering this bus instead of, oh, I don't know, a bus company employee.
Don't question it, James Baker, the snaker.
And then Cresco, the malignant, he goes and staples up notices at every bus stop saying the bus isn't going to run. And everybody just goes, oh, okay, I guess I'll walk. Now me, being a cheap ass, if it was within walking distance, I would pretty much walk every time.
Yeah, even like Rosa Parks is kind of like, the bus is late. I'll just walk home. It's only like a couple stops. And it's like, no. You have to go on. Whatever, child.
Yeah.
So Cresco is going to like, you know, he actually has his car in the middle of the street. It's like, this bus ain't going to pass. Don't go past me. And then Ryan shows up. He's like, got your thing, sending you, I don't know, years in the past. Bye-bye.
He fucking straight up murders him.
Well, doesn't murder him. He sends him to the past.
No, this is true. But the doctor said earlier that this is how Cresco or Klesko, whatever the fuck it is. Is it Klesko?
Cresco.
Okay. Not Klesko, like Ryan Klesko, former Major League Baseball player. Cresco, I don't know what number he was because he didn't play for the White Sox.
So why don't you play your job right?
He played for the Padres.
Oh, what are you like? Are you like baseball racist? Because like just because they weren't like White Sox? It's like, oh, because they're not White Sox, they're Wrong Sox.
So yeah, so it's Cresco.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. So Cresco the Malignant is what I'm gonna call him. Gets zapped into the far past, but like the doctor does say earlier that he's killing people this way. So I can only assume that Ryan straight up murdered him. Until like three episodes from now when they do run into him again.
I neither confirm nor deny that, Steve.
Yeah, and then they basically are riding the route that Rosa Parks is gonna ride, and they say like, oh, they're worried about having enough people and all this stuff, and they're like, Graham is like, oh no, we're cool, we can get off now, and the doctor's like, no, we have to stay here. We can't get off the bus. We have to stay here because otherwise there won't be enough white people on the bus.
But didn't your heart break when Graham says, I don't want to be part of this? I'm like, oh my God.
I did admire it because I didn't want to be part of it either.
Oh, I know. Right. Yeah. It's like, no, I don't want to like, you know, but they had to be there to make sure that she did it.
Yes. And of course she gets on and she refuses to give up her seat, and the music swells for yet like a 14th time. Then she gets arrested. The bus driver gets off the bus and picks up a payphone and calls the police, has her arrested. And if I was a white person even on the bus, I'd be like, fuck it, who cares? Just keep going. I want to get home tonight. But apparently in Montgomery at the time, you either rode the bus or you had a very easy walk to your destination. So it didn't matter. They have this huge swelling music because it's
Ryan makes eye contact with Rosa as she gets off, as she's being like led away in handcuffs, and he's like, gotcha girl. And she goes, yeah, I got this. And then like, yeah, so then the doctor like shows them the history, and everyone's like, everything's great from here out. And she goes, not really.
No,
her life sucks. She gets fired, her husband gets fired. Life sucks for Rosa Parks.
She ended up in Detroit, and she got like beaten and robbed, and was going to be evicted until I believe Mike Ilitch, the guy who founded Little Caesars Pizza and owned the Detroit Tigers and the Detroit Lions, stepped in and basically behind the scenes paid her rent for the rest of her life. Like, she lived up until like 2010 or 2012, somewhere in there. Like,
well, the doctor showed footage of her getting like a Medal of Honor from President Clinton in 1999.
Yeah.
And she's like, see, like she actually made a difference because, look, here's the Rosa Parks asteroid that will take out Earth in 10 years. I don't know.
Maybe.
See, karma.
Yeah. But and then
but it'll land in Montgomery, Alabama.
And we do find out at one point that Cresco, the jackass, was just a horrible racist bastard. And that's why he went back to like destroy this one moment in time. And which is one
he was
kind of
talking about, like the butterfly effect. It's like this one little moment in time actually fucked up everything for my people in the future. Wait, are your people like, you know, cosmic boys or something? I don't
know. Just racist pricks, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, so he and I assume we'll run into him again. But anyway, and then everything's happy and fine.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know.
The episode ends with not like the proper theme. It ends up with Rise Up over the end credits by Andre Day. Yeah. And again, I know it's like a little bonk bonk on the head, but like it was a bonk bonk on the head episode.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, like you know, and so actually after we spoke about it, Steve, still hate it?
Okay, hate is a strong word.
Well, you kind of said that at the beginning.
I know.
So I want you to reevaluate.
But
if you choose to or not to, I'm giving you a chance.
No, I know. And I found it to be just over the top and just an oversimplification of a very difficult issue. And also the Montgomery bus boycott, like Rosa Parks, that was not like a spur of the moment thing that the doctor is responsible for. It was a planned thing. Like, they had planned to get her arrested. They had worked this out for her to get arrested and then the boycotts to kick in. Like, and that doesn't make it any less important it's not diminishing it in any way. It was a huge event in the civil rights movement, just like Brown versus Board of Education and the Jackie Robinson, like breaking the color barrier in 1947 in baseball. Like, those are all huge things.
Loving, but, all that stuff.
Yes. Loving. Well, for Loving versus Virginia was in, I think, 68.
Right. But my point,
like, which is still insane, you know, to me.
How could Ryan be like Graham's grandson? What?
I know. And so it just, it,
well, also too, the guy said he's been there for a while and he's like disrupting things. So, you know, clearly maybe he did more to disrupt. It was one of those things where, you know, honestly, back when it was broadcast, people were like, well, it's an oversimplification and everything. And if you look at the Rotten Tomato scores and stuff, there's like this whole contingency of fans that said Doctor Who was never political. Doctor Who was never this, that, and the other thing. Doctor Who was just a fluff. Where, like, you know, people are like, no, actually, it had this back then and this back then, and it's always been kind of political and everything. Almost from, like, you know, from season one, series one, it's been political and like, you know, like touching on these sort of things. And
so the same, like the same way Star Trek has always been political,
right? You know, it's like, oh, you know, it's like, wait, no, he's blue on the right side and black on the left side. I'm black on the right side and blue on the left side. No, he's completely different. Racist. You know, again, it's like one of those things where they could, you know, they had to use what was in their power, and so maybe they did make a little bonk bonk on the head. And, you know, people are like, oh my gosh, this guy's ruined Doctor Who because it's never been political or stuff like that.
Well,
but there's people who still go to this day and say it's like the worst episode ever, just to like make the ratings on it go down.
Okay,
like,
it is far from the worst episode ever.
Right, no. And again,
it was well performed. I just did not agree with the writing choices. It was like such an oversimplification of a very complex issue. And also, it's tough because, like, I really hated The Rise of Skywalker, and that puts me into league with some racist assholes for not liking one of the modern Star Wars movies. And it's like, you can, it's hard to like say, I dislike this thing
But I wasn't a fan of Rise of Skywalker either.
Well, I know, but you know what I mean. Like, well,
right.
You know, there are people who dislike the Last Jedi and The Force Awakens because they didn't like the way it was written and directed. But then again, they're lumped into a category with people who didn't like it because it's quote unquote woke or whatever nonsense word they want to, yeah. You know, the right wants to use. And you and I are both like pretty like liberal, progressive people.
Right.
But we're also white and middle-aged and I'm straight. And so like, I don't know the perspective. So maybe my finding this episode a bit cringy is my own issues. I don't know. But it was a very complicated issue.
Right. And
I kept thinking, just from a Doctor Who standpoint, like this is one of the most fixed points in time, events in time. So correct. Why is it like...
Why aren't the demons coming to like eat people?
Well, because we only saw them in one episode. So still. Right.
Yeah. But just because you know, Rose's father didn't get killed. What the fuck?
I know. Like he's that important. He isn't in this dimension.
Why was he like a big fixed point in time and Rosa Parks wasn't?
I don't know. And maybe you could argue that in the Doctor Who universe that the Doctor stepping in is what like fixes it and makes sure it's a fixed point in time, but it still felt...
I would not do that.
I know. That's the thing. It's like, because of the work of this white lady, this old white man, and this black English guy, and this Pakistani English woman, like, because of them, Rosa Parks was able to succeed.
Yeah.
Not because of her.
Right.
Because of these people who intervened. And I think that's part of what bugs me, because I don't know.
Well, but you know, again, like, you know, when they had the guy who was there who had already been intervening, they just were there to help bring it back on track. So it wasn't like, you know, like they were there to like make it happen. They were there to help ensure it happened. I mean, if you can look at it that way, possibly.
Yes, they weren't there to make it happen. They were there to make sure it happened. Still.
Right. I know. Still.
It felt, and you know, I don't know, maybe it's because I know that, you know, there was a young black woman who was arrested for the exact same crime a couple weeks earlier, but because she was a single mother, they didn't think she would make good, she would be good in the headlines.
No.
So they chose this working married woman in Rosa Parks, and she was the one. It's just.
Right. No.
It was orchestrated.
Right, it was orchestrated.
Which, again, does not make it any less historically significant.
Correct. But, like, you know, nor, like, in a 50-minute episode, do they, you know, have the time to, like, draw that. No. I'm not belittling your argument, Don.
Oh, I know.
I'm just, like, saying it's, like, you know, I think they wanted to bring light to an important issue that in our day and age seems to be so far in the past where people have forgotten what it's about. But, like... back in the 60s when Doctor Who started, they would do it's like, oh no, we don't want a pure sci-fi thing. This needs to be for the kids. So they do like a sci-fi slash, and then the next episode would be educational.
Yeah.
Sci-fi educational. So like this was like kind of like an educational one where they brought it and like, you know, try to like make it for, you know, to like actually bring something so that people would think we're thinking about it.
But also, to me, it struck me as, and again, I don't know if this is the case, but it felt self-congratulatory to a bunch of like liberal white dudes who are creating this TV show. And
very well.
So that's where my issues come with it.
Okay.
And like racism.
Is it almost like it was like when Gal Gadot started doing the, hello, everyone, I'm Gal Gadot, a rich woman. Let's sing Imagine There's No Sickness.
Yeah. Honestly, kind of. It's the mansion. Same kind of thing when celebrities would say, we're all in this together. And it's like, no, your personal chef is quarantining with you. But, and again, maybe I'm projecting. Maybe I am, like I said earlier, allergic to sincerity. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where this country's original sin is racism. Like it's written into the Constitution. We
pretty
had to
much.
Amend it. And it took several amendments. And it just, God help us from the like well-meaning white liberal. you know, who doesn't want to disrupt anything, but just wants to like take on easy issues.
Steve, my name is John.
I know.
Damn you.
I'll stop.
No.
It was well directed and paced, well-intentioned and acted and well-intentioned, but I just wish they had done something different.
Okay. Let's also look at it from the point of view of like, this is a British television show.
Yeah.
And like, you know, even like, you know, where like Ryan is like, oh, I thought she's the lady who first drove a bus. You know, true. So like maybe this is like, you know, meant to be for British people to actually see, because like, you know, their government has also taken a turn. You know what I mean? Yeah. So again, if we're going to take it at face value, it's a history. It's a science fiction show. If we're going to take it as an allegory, maybe this is more intentioned for their audience, because we happen to be viewing it because we're Americans who enjoy, we're Anglophiles. We like our British television.
Well, some,
you know,
of it, yeah.
Your wife likes, like, you know, it's like, hello, I'm going to have a baby. Shoot it out my cooch. What's that called?
I think that's called Call the Midwife.
Right.
So, I guess.
Shoot it out my fanny, because that's what they call their JJs.
Maybe if the scene where he met Martin Luther King. And
Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yes,
I feel like maybe. That we kept referring to him as like his full name.
Yes.
And they were like, you're weird.
Yeah. Because, you know, he didn't say like, hey, just call me Marty. Because you can't have
coffee.
You can't have a character named Marty in a time travel thing after Back to the Future.
What? But,
anyway, like, what if they had in that scene, like saying like, oh, you know what? So this day, tomorrow, you're going to get arrested for doing the bus boycott. And then instead of having this artificial, like, oh, I tore my coat, you have to fix it tonight thing. They basically have her do the planned. A little more realistic, and not this, she was this such a noble soul who sacrificed herself. And it's like, no, she,
but then
this
they
was
have
a
to
planned pr- thing.
But then they have to prove to her that they're time travelers and shit like that. What seems to be more realistic than a white lady wants her coat fixed right now?
Or they just don't need to have that. They can just say her like, no, I can't fix your coat because I have to be on the bus. I'll do what I can, but I have to be on that bus.
Well, I think she also maybe she left work late, and they just had to make sure she left at that specific time. I don't know.
I'm just saying that the way it was presented to me, like the civil rights movement was kicked off by a white lady.
And that's Doctor Who.
Sorry, I just...
No, don't be sorry. It's like, you know, I think this is like one of the first times we've actually spoken where it's just kind of like there's been such huge debate.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I'm like, you know, and it's allowed and it's okay. And it's like, it might not be funny, but like, you know, hey, the show is also designed it's what you want it to be. Do you want it to be a frothy, you know, time travel show? Do you want it to be this, that, and the other thing? It's like, it can be all of it. And, you know, again, for us, it's, you know, it hit me in the where I wanted to be hit. And it's like, you know, again, like this, I've also have the pleasure of, you know, having experienced it 4 years ago. It's not fresh and new to me. So it's like, I don't remember what I remembered specifically thought about. You know, it might have been one of those little bonk bonk on the head, but because I'm an emotional little bitch, I probably like, you know, wept about shit anyway. And then it was kind of like, oh, because remember like the Christmas episode where like the doctor, the witch in the wardrobe?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like when I initially watched it, I thought, "Oh my god, this is great." And then when I thought about it, I'm like, "Oh, that's manipulative. I hate you."
And
I kind of hating it, but I got somewhere in the middle.
And I kind of like that one.
Right. Well, that's my point. So it's kind of like it's one of those things where it's like, "Oh, it's a treacly piece of like, you know, fruitcake where I like fruitcake as long as it doesn't have giant pieces of walnuts like stuck in my teeth." Fuck you, fruitcake.
Okay.
It's walnuts aren't fruit. Walnuts are legumes or something. I don't know.
And I don't know. Maybe I'll see this in like a couple years and be like, oh, you know what? That was pretty good because I know what to expect.
Well, when we revisit, when Cresco shows up, who knows? We might revisit this episode later. But in the meantime.
Clearly, Cresco is going to show up again.
Well, you know, you don't have a character like that show up without like, you know, anyway. So So ultimately, we watched an episode of Doctor Who, and like Steve and I both watched it.
Yes.
All right, Steve. Did Rosa look familiar to you?
A little.
Okay, would you have recognized her?
I've seen the postage stamp that Rosa Parks was on, so was that what I know her from?
I'm sorry, the actress who portrayed Rosa Parks episode, let me put it that way. Her name was Vinette Robinson.
Okay.
And she is Brit. And yes. She was in 4 episodes of Sherlock Holmes. She played Sergeant Sally Donovan. Like in the early seasons, yeah. She played. And then so it's like every now and then when we needed to have a cop who wasn't just a... what's his face, who would end up being kind of the bumbler or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know a ton about Sherlock Holmes, and I don't remember Inspector something, what he was like, the villain, not the villain, but kind of a foil, a bumbling foil.
Right.
But I assume she was a Brit, and every once in a while words would come up, like she would say woik, and I'm like, well, that doesn't sound Southern. That sounds like it's Brooklyn. So, I don't know.
Most of the Americans were, Brits.
Yeah, I assume.
Or some of them, surprisingly, or not surprisingly, were South African.
Yeah, I know.
Because they filmed this episode in South Africa, same like last episode, same director. So it was like it was in the same filming block. So they went down there, they found a bus, they commissioned a bus that looked just like an authentic period bus from Alabama.
Yeah.
Now, Vinette Robinson, she also appeared in a Star Wars episode 9.
Is that the one where the Skywalkers rise?
Yeah she showed up as a pilot, but like, get this, she also auditioned for Queen Amidala in episode 1.
Wow.
So 20 years prior to her appearing in a Star Wars movie, she auditioned to be in a Star Wars movie.
Was she one of the handmaidens in episode 1? Was Sophia Coppola and Keira Knightley?
Yeah, so she auditioned.
Okay.
She did not become one.
Okay.
So she appeared in Doctor Who prior to this.
Oh my God, if you tell me she was Chloe Weber, I quit this podcast.
Bye, Steve. It was nice knowing you. No, she appeared in Doctor Who in 2007 in the episode 42, the one that took place in 42 minutes, that was on a space station. It was written by Chris Chibnall. Yeah, there you go.
I don't remember that episode.
So yeah, Vinette Robinson, we salute you for you're not.
Do we?
Oh no, it's too early for that. next up, Josh Bauman. He played Cresco. Or Cresco, I forget which, but
Cresco.
Cresco, not the magician. Anyway, so you know what? You may know him better as being Mr. Emily Van Camp. Do you remember do you know who that is? You went, huh?
Isn't she the Sharon Carter's niece?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, no, she is Sharon Carter because she's the niece. Captain Carter is a different name.
Haley Atwell.
Right, Sharon Carter? but isn't her name different than Sharon?
Sharon Carter.
So there was someone who played Arthur. Morgan Deere appeared in Delta and the Bannermen in 1987. That was when Sylvester McCoy's Doctor. So 35 years ago, he was on Doctor Who. So it was one of the old people. I wonder if it's like the old guy that like Ryan came and said, "You can get on the bus." He's like, "Shut up, boy."
Maybe. What if that's him?
It had to be somebody old enough to be somebody who's like in like 60s or 70s.
I think that was the oldest dude on the show. Was Sylvester McCoy, was he the fifth Doctor?
No, he was the seventh.
Damn it.
Yeah. Eighth was a movie doctor, and then I'm sorry, TV movie doctor, and then ninth was Christopher Eccleston.
No, I know that. And I also know that every even numbered doctor is the actor's last name is Baker.
I was taking a drink, Steve.
I've made that joke before, John.
It's delightful. I'm going to spray wine on my computer screen.
Okay.
Damn it. As I said before, it was filmed in Cape Town, South Africa. I may not have said Cape Town, but it was filmed in Cape Town, South Africa. Apparently, they have like areas where like could pass as Alabama in 1955. Okay. So as you mentioned earlier, Storm Cage Prison.
Yes.
That's where Cresco. I don't remember what the name
was. Just say Cresco.
where Cresco the magician was incarcerated. River Song, that's where she was that's where she like was sentenced to prison when she killed quote unquote the doctor.
Yeah.
The most important man ever to live.
Okay.
She, yeah. So they sent her there. And clearly she did not, you know, she'd get out of there pretty easily.
Well, and it was only because he was in a prison, like some intergalactic prison in the future, and he got out with like a magical wrist time MacGuffin. And
no, they put a thing in his brain. Remember the thing? They put a thing in his head. There was like a to prevent him from like harming or killing people.
No, I know, which again is like Spike from Buffy in season 4. But no, it was the wrist thing because River Song time traveled that same way, and so did Captain
you'd
Jack.
Be like but Spike from Buffy in series 4 sure, of Torchwood whatever. Or whatever.
But
when James Marsden showed up as another time traveler.
No, what I'm saying is that what him time traveling with that wrist thing and being in a prison made me think of River Song, and so I assumed it was the same prison.
Well, I assume it's also kind of the same wrist thing.
Yeah.
Because like even the doctor's like, oh, that's down and dirty kind of time travel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. So during the filming, Mandip Gill, she plays Yaz.
Okay.
She said the bus scene was so intense for her to film that she just like kept every scene, she'd end up just crying.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, that's pretty rough.
Yeah.
You know, again, you know, there's, you know, it does bring feels. You know,
oh yeah, again, I'm not saying it wasn't intense, I'm just saying it was maybe misguided. I don't know.
I got you. You know, it's like, again, like every person's experience is different, and
yeah,
you know, it's like I don't question what yours is, and you know, I'm gonna wear my feelings on the sleeves kind of guy. I'm like, I'm the guy of like I exist in the moment. You ask me who's my favorite doctor, my favorite doctor is whoever is showing at the moment.
Yeah.
You know what
and
I mean?
I'm dead inside. I know.
Now, remember what I said, like, you know, when we started with this new series of Doctor Who with a new showrunner, new cast and everything, I was going to feature a major player on each new episode of Doctor Who that we talk about. Today, we're talking about Tosin Cole, who played Ryan.
Okay.
Graham's grandson and the grandchild of... Oh,
Grace.
Grace, yes, thank you.
I win.
You win. So Tosin Cole, currently the actor himself, he's going to turn 30 on July 23rd, 2022. So before we release this episode, 2 days prior to us releasing this episode, Tosin Cole will turn 30. So happy birthday, Tosin Cole. Welcome to your fourth decade of life.
I think you mean 2 days after we release this episode.
Happy birthday, Tosin Cole. 2 days after we release this episode, you will have turned 30 years old 2 days after, because like only stupid people say before.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So ridiculous. Tosin Cole, the actor, he started working in British soap operas, EastEnders, and he also did 84 episodes of Hollyoaks, another one of those like British soap operas.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah. He also appeared in Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Ooh.
And he will be continue to be seen as a companion for Jodie Whittaker.
Yeah, I think, does Jodie Whittaker only have these three as companions?
Going to plead the fifth, Steve.
Okay, that's fine.
You have to like talk to my lawyers so I can appear in front of the committee.
Ugh.
For the Doctor Who Whostory Board of Review.
You and your fucking lawyers. I'm so sick of asking them if you can hang out or if you want to get a beer, and they always say like, well, we plead the fifth, and I'm like, I just want to get a beer with John, but no, he's too important. He's got a legal team.
Hey, he's America's mayor, Steve.
What are you talking about?
Lou Ferrigno.
Lou Ferrigno. Okay.
So yeah, so that's basically it. Again, you know, we enjoy we will see, we will continue to see Tosin Cole appearing as Ryan, and maybe other people in the future, who knows?
Who knows?
You know, it's like, again, like, you know, Fortunately or unfortunately, Jodie Whittaker's reign is less than 30 episodes. So yeah, a lot could happen during that time, Steve.
I would be curious to see a breakdown of which actor portrayed the Doctor for like the most, for, you know, by episode, not by year.
Yeah, I can see that. So before we go to the second quarter of the episode, Steve, anything else you want to talk about this episode?
Not really. I know
it can be kind of problematic a little bit. It's like,
again, I can dislike this episode for different reasons than the people who disliked it because they said racism is bad and there's a lady doctor. I disliked the trivialization of an important period in American history. That's all.
I appreciate that and I respect that and I embrace that, Steve.
Yes.
And
plus, I am a huge racist.
Well, hey, Steve, wait, maybe in several episodes there'll be like one where there's problematic with actual British history.
I was trying to think of what would be like the British equivalent. I'm like, is it the Irish famine?
No.
Something along those lines. Like
maybe a different West Asian country.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, no.
What?
Are they going to...
Are we going to address an Indian thing?
Are they going to talk to Gandhi? Oh, boy.
Maybe it'll be called Gandhi in the UK or something. I don't know, Steve. But, like, yeah, this is... Okay. This. Remember I told you, like, this season is not about talking about any of the past villains or anything?
Yeah. So yeah, the villains are the things that we fight against, like racism and hate.
And spiders. But Steve,
okay.
So let's talk about next, the unsung crew member of the episode, Steve.
Yeah,
I'm bringing it up. Bum bum bum. Unsung crew member of the episode. Bum bum bum. I think I came up with like a theme song for them the last episode. No,
you didn't. You came up with a new song for Tim's emails.
Well, hey, any emails from Tim, Steve?
No, not this week. But
then I don't need to remember that one or pretend to remember that one. So today's unsung crew member of the episode, her name is Kate Barber. Wait, I'm sorry. Her name is Kate Barber-Williams.
Okay.
And she's not married to Rory Williams because that would be weird because he's a fictional character.
Oh, you're true.
Who's married to Rory Williams, Steve? Amy Pond.
I know. I just... I wanted to say Karen Gillan, but I knew that wasn't the answer.
No, because his name is actually Rory Williams in the show.
Why are you so close to the mic?
So no one can hear you because I'm whispering.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Kate Barber-Williams. She played an assistant accountant. Ooh.
She played or she was?
She was an assistant accountant. Now, she is like generally like... credited as additional crew. Now there's the Voice UK. We have the Voice America.
Yeah.
So she was like in Britain's Got Talent as a live logger. Not sure what that means.
Nope.
He must have logged live.
Sure.
She worked on X on the Beach. I believe again the British one as a runner. 20 episodes of Doctor Who. And they were all during Jodie Whittaker's reign in either as an accountant, well, basically as an accountant capacity. So,
okay.
Unsung crew member of the episode, Katie Barber-Williams, we salute you. And I'm out of booze. I'm going to drink some Coke Zero. Okay. Nom, 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 nom.
Good job.
Thank you, Katie Barber. Thanks, Steve, for being to Katie Barber-Williams. I don't know.
Okay.
All right, so anything else you want to talk about this episode? I'll give you one last chance.
No, I think I've made my feelings known and
right.
That my staked my claim as the racist of the show.
Oh, God.
For disliking this.
Hey, Steve, we're going to talk about the next episode of Doctor Who. Okay. Episode 165. Can you believe it?
No.
That's right.
I don't
right.
believe it.
So the next episode is called Arachnids in the UK.
Oh, okay.
Arachnids in the UK. Arachnids in the UK.
Yes, I understand. It's a play on anarchy in the UK by the Sex Pistols.
I thought that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm dizzy from like, I was like shaking my head a lot.
Yeah, from bobbing your head, you're a little dizzy? Okay.
I'm 55. I probably have caused myself some sort of like stroke.
Oh, no, you probably took like 3 years off your life by just shaking your head that way.
Probably.
Yeah.
So Arachnids in the UK, what is it about?
Arachnids in the UK is about, I'm going to say giant alien spiders invading the UK. They're hatched. They've been, I'm going to say that their eggs were planted underground somewhere probably decades ago, and they're finally coming to fruition. They are the alien version of cicadas, but they're much more malicious, and they're mean, and they're trying to take over the world, and the doctor is going to save them, and it takes place in contemporary London, and who knows, Graham's going to die.
Bummer.
I don't know. They've got three companions. I assume one of them is disposable every episode.
Does he die a heroic death?
Yes.
Okay. Does Yaz, the doctor, or Ryan have to kill him? You know, for the heroic death. Now, understanding that Ryan is his quote unquote grandson.
What I'm going to say is that Graham sacrifices himself to save Ryan, and in his last seconds on Earth, Ryan actually calls him granddad.
Oh, and then it's like not a dry high in the house.
Not a dry high in the house.
Fucker, you heard that.
They're, you know, we're all using water bongs, so they're very wet highs.
It's very true. It's very true. So how do they defeat the arachnids?
Stepping on them. They get they resurrect the Iron Giant from Victorian era London and just step on the giant spiders.
Oh God, I love like a long game. Love a callback.
Yep, I know.
So does like the governor from like, you know, the Dead Man Walking show up or whatever?
I don't know who that is, but the woman who used to say, "This is my name, MP," she comes back.
But Jones.
Harriet Jones, MP.
Harriet Jones.
She comes back to try to help, but she just gets stepped on.
Right. But then the knock doctor, who was the actor who played the governor in The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
He was the one who was like there during the...
No, because he was just a dude in Victorian England.
Well, but he was there during... the time of like the giant.
See his skeleton. He's actually spooning the Iron Giant.
By spooning, you mean he's just kind of like stuck on the butt?
Because he's the big spoon.
That's awesome. Yeah. So let's see how much of that like shows up in Arachnids in the UK.
All of it.
And so until then, make sure you save us the final trailer to spoon with.
Huh?
I'm still trying to come up with my signature
I think you're a little drunk.
Dear John. I'm Dr. John. I'm drunk to John. And who are you, Steve?
I'm just regular, plain old Steve.
And until the next time, just kind of like, you know, save me a spot on the aisle, because like, you know, my knee hurts when I hold it too like long in this one position, and I'm kind of old and that sort of stuff. So,
and you're old and you're gonna have to pee frequently,
probably. So until then, I'm John.
I'm Steve,
and we'll see you the next time, peeps.
Bye.
I think my grandma was born like around 1910-ish, so she would have been like in her late 40s when these pictures that I was looking at, like she could have been like 50, 55 or so.
Yeah.
Like, oh God, rough. It's weird. I guess they didn't have Botox back then.
Yeah, it's weird that she was born when you were like a full-fledged adult.
You know, I know. It's a whole time. It's timey-wimey, Steve.
John, what was the Civil War like?
Well, Steve, it was, you know what, I blocked it. It was just so traumatic.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
But I learned so much.
Civil War.
I learned so much for Reconstruction.
Yes.